Welcome to the Rooted Moms Podcast, a space where we encourage and equip you on your journey to becoming a fully devoted follower of Christ. Together, we'll unpack a relatable, real mom life topic in the light of biblical truth. While motherhood may be complicated, we believe growing in your faith doesn't have to be. So let's open up our hearts as we dive into today's podcast with your host, Brittany Marlowe.
Welcome to the Rooted Moms Podcast. I'm your host, Brittany Marlowe, and today I have special guests with me, Alexa Gearhart. I'm so excited to have her. She is a part of the Rooted Moms team with me. Alexa lives in North Carolina with Brad, her husband of 10 years, and their three daughters, Rowan, Cora, and Bryn. Alexa is a work-from-home mom, homeschool mom, and she serves as our Rooted Kids Director here at Rooted Moms. Actively involved in their church and the ministry of Camp Duncan, the Gearharts keep busy, but in her spare time, Alexa enjoys hosting friends, trying to garden, and spending time outdoors. Trying to garden. That's funny. I try to garden, but
we do our best.
I try to garden, honestly. But I'm so excited to have you today, Alexa. So for all of you listeners listening today, we are discussing a pretty heavy topic. We're discussing grief. In the fall of 2021, Brad and Alexa were faced with the unimaginable as their son Hudson passed away in the womb just days before delivery. Alexa is going to share some of her story and encourage us with hope of the Lord in the midst of deep grief. Okay, so Alexa, welcome. And Hi. Can you share your story of walking through grief with us?
Sure. I am so thankful to be able to be on here today and to share this with you. It's not something that I ever thought our family would face, and not something that we had any idea was coming, I guess, coming our way. But we had had two healthy pregnancies and two healthy births, our older daughters, Rowan and Cora, and they were about 4 and 6. We had been serving in ministry and life had been really busy. We knew always that we were going to grow our family. We became pregnant with our third, and our pregnancy was typical for us. We had, you know, I get very sick at the beginning, but all of our scans were looking great. Nothing out of the ordinary throughout my pregnancy until around 37 weeks. I felt like our son, so he was our son Hudson. I felt like he wasn't moving quite as much as he had been. So I called the doctor, like they tell you to do. I headed in. We did some testing and some scans, and everything looked great. So we headed back home, and you know, oh, you're just an anxious mom. It's going to be okay. We'll see you soon for delivery. And so I thought, okay, that was just in my head. Mm-hmm. And we headed back home and went through the next week. Really thought delivery was imminent. Fully prepared to be welcoming him home. And on the phone with my sister, I noticed, oh, I don't think I've been feeling him move again. And I was trying to think back to the last time. All of that to say, I headed back into the doctor, and it was COVID kind of time period still. And so I was headed in by myself. And I think both the doctors and the techs thought, you know, she's just still feeling anxious. We'll do this quick scan. Everything will be okay. But it was evident as soon as we began the ultrasound that he had already passed. And my world just came completely crashing down. Like I said, fully ready, thinking I was maybe even going into labor, you know, later that day. Yeah. And to be told, I'm sorry, there's no heartbeat. Can't describe it other than just my world just flipped completely upside down. My husband was not with me at the time. And I know that every person in that office heard just the guttural pain that came out of me as a mom grieving the loss of her child in a moment when I wasn't expecting it or anticipating it. And so they quickly got Brad to me, and we ended up going home briefly to see our children and then heading to the hospital to deliver our son. And we delivered him in a quiet delivery room, and we left the hospital without him. And so, yeah, that's sort of the start, I guess, of our story of grief. That's just where it begins. It's not right. A one and done experience, but that is the story of Hudson's little life. And there's a lot more to come in what the Lord has done since he passed.
Oh gosh. So in the midst of something just so unimaginable, how did you continue to trust God? Because you had a firm foundation firm relationship with God before this. So how did you continue to put your trust in him and your hope in him and turn to him? And was there a specific scripture that helped you during this time?
I'd say in the immediate, you know, when I was in the room after they had told me that he had passed, I remember physically not being able to stand. And I remember my doctor holding me up, and I don't know how she, what led her to say this, but she kept whispering to me, "You're a woman of faith. Like he's going to sustain you through this. You're a woman of faith." Oh, and so I feel like the Lord used other people's words initially to kind of like refocus me to him. So between those words of her and like encouraging me in my faith, and then, you know, you leave that room and everyone's expecting us to be having a baby soon. So those phone calls have to start, and you have to start calling people. And so in making some of those phone calls to our closest family and friends, one of the responses that someone had when I told them, and again, my response was just agony and pain. And this person's response was, "Well, that's why there can't be a God." That was just their pain surfacing. And as odd as this sounds, I feel like the Holy Spirit grabbed a hold of my heart in that moment when I heard someone else's response to my suffering. And from that moment on, I was clinging so tightly to him because I did not want that to be the response. I don't want anyone to be able to look at a life of suffering or hurt or pain and be able to come away with the conclusion that there is no God. And so between those two words that were spoken to me, really within the first 20 minutes of finding out of Hudson's passing, the Lord took those, and I still think back on them frequently. And he used those to sort of refocus me right there, right then and there. And it's in 2 Corinthians where Paul writes what the Lord had spoken to him, like, "My strength is made perfect in your weakness." I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that that is the only way that I was sustained through, even today, but through those very early moments of grief through the delivery room. Like, it was not my strength. It was the Lord. It was the Holy Spirit compelling me to walk through something so painful and to speak of him. That's not, like, looking back at it, I'm like, there's no way I said that in the delivery room. There's no way this happened. That wasn't in my strength. It was in the Lord's. And I can't really describe it until you experience being so physically, spiritually, mentally broken that I truly don't know how I walked out of the hospital without my son, but I know that it was the strength of the Lord. And he continues today to sustain, you know, to sustain me and for me to be able to even have this conversation right now. Like, it's his strength in my weakness. And when you get to experience that, you can't deny his presence in your life. So that was one piece of it. Did you have a question for me?
No, I was just going to say how beautiful of, I feel like that's just like the beautiful way of God to take these people with you in this moment to speak life into you, because, you know, not everybody that we encounter has a relationship with God. Not everybody has faith. And for your doctor to say those things to you, like, immediately in that moment, but then also to have someone say something super negative to you and you take that and turn it into, "Well, I know that that is completely untrue." It's just so amazing, but go ahead, continue with the second part.
Well, I was going to, as you asked that question, I was going to say, looking back, I can also see the Lord having put people in my life to walk with me, through my grief and through losing my son. I was very fortunate. And I know that sounds odd to say, but there were four or five women that I knew, I didn't know them well, but I knew them that had experienced loss. And they were also some of my first phone calls. And we, you know, in our conversation since, we've said, I never would want for you to have lost your child, but I am so thankful that God in his faithfulness ordained our relationship, knowing what we're going to walk through together. And so he is faithful in that, in using the people around us. And that I could share story after story through the hospital, of the nurse that was the one that met me in triage had lost a child. And my friend's husband was working in the ER. I mean, we're still in sort of COVID. This was 2021, but there was still a lot of restrictions, and he happened to be in the ER, and was able to pray with us. Our pastor, his father was, a floor below us, getting ready to go home on hospice care, and he was able to get to us. And so I just look at these things and I'm like, Lord, I can't deny that your hand wasn't all over this in terms of coming alongside us and protecting us and caring for us through something so painful. So he definitely used other people to speak truth to us. And like you said, the hard things that people said too, he can use those things too to help you pursue him. I do want to share about another scripture. This wasn't in those immediate days. Obviously grief doesn't just go away, you know, in a week or in 2 weeks or in a year or in a lifetime, you know, that the grief continues. And I spent a lot of time in my bathtub. That's so funny, of all places, but that's where I go.
A lot of moms might say that.
Yeah, I go to read and just sort of, that's where I met the Lord. That's where the Lord just met with me and worked on my heart through that season. And I was, you know, pouring over scripture, just like, Lord, how do I get through this? You know, how do I face this? And I was so drawn over and over, and I still am, to Jesus in the garden. The night he was arrested, he headed into the garden and we get to see him come before the Father. And it's only just a few little sentences. But I have taken so much strength from those sentences and so much hope. And I'm not going to read them to you guys, but I do just want to share a couple takeaways. And I encourage anyone who's going through grief or suffering, where else would we want to look than to see how our Savior faced his suffering? And so you can find this in Mark 14 and Luke 22. And just a couple things that I'm going to highlight that we see Jesus do in his suffering. We see Jesus go before the Father. We see him go before him in prayer. And then we also see, I think it's in the account in Mark, it shares that he took three of his closer friends, closer disciples, Peter, James, and John with him further into the garden. And so that for me was, I cannot walk this road of suffering alone. I was never intended to. And we see Jesus, even in his deepest moments of agony, bring people with him. We see him pour out his heart to God with deep emotion. The words, it says that he was greatly distressed and troubled. And so I know that as I'm talking to you right now and sharing about my grief, it doesn't seem greatly distressed and troubled, but know that in my bathtub, there have been hours of wrestling with the Lord and being greatly distressed and troubled and just coming undone before him. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes as Christians, we think, nope, it's just a happy face and we just keep going. But that's not what the Lord has for us. And that's not what Jesus demonstrates for us. He wasn't just smiling, walking into his suffering. And he fully knew the outcome. He knew what was coming, but we see him become greatly distressed and troubled before the Lord. We see him in, I think it's in Luke, I'm not sure which account, but it says that he was sweating, his sweat became like blood. And so Jesus experienced physical agony just at the thought of his suffering. And that was really, when I read through that and I processed that, grief affects you physically, and something I didn't know until I experienced this deep grief, but I was affected cognitively for a while. Anxiety was new for me. And I just found comfort in knowing that Jesus, who is fully God and fully man, he also was physically affected by the suffering and the grief of what was to come before him. And so again, there was comfort, for me in that. We see Jesus, asking for the Lord to remove his suffering. And I just think, you're fully God, you're fully man. You knew what the outcome of your suffering was to be. And he didn't want to experience it. We don't want to experience suffering. Lord, if you can take this cup from me, please do. And to know that Jesus went before his Father with that request in the same way that our kids would come before us with any request, like, can you do this? If you can do this, please do. But at the end, when Jesus said, yet not my will, your will be done. That is what we want to be. Are we going to be perfect in saying, Lord, this is, you know, your will be done, and just be able to walk through like Jesus did, walk through his suffering? No, we're going to have our stumbles and our falls and our wanting to run away and all of those things. But when we can look at his example, what comfort and what peace we can have. And that's my heart cry at this point. Like, Lord, if you could have taken this cup from me, yes, amen. Like, please do. But you haven't, your will be done. And we're going to use this to glorify you. And so if you're in a season of suffering, please open your scripture, open your Bible, go to that scripture, and just let the Lord speak to you through that and continue. I even following Jesus through all of his suffering, through his crucifixion and his death. Like there's so many things we see him talking of the Father. We see him crying out to the Father. We see him asking forgiveness for those who betrayed him. And I just, that's what we aim to be. We aim to be more like Christ. And so if we can do that, even in our suffering, that's what God calls us to do.
Wow. It's just so amazing. Your story. And, you know, we're not promised an easy life. We're not promised a life completely without tragedy, but we are promised that he'll be with us throughout it. And just as you've mentioned, like there have been so many people in your life that he placed before this even all happened, because he knows exactly what we're going to go through and exactly what we need once that happened. And all of these scriptures, that Alexa is mentioning will be in our podcast notes. So, you'll be able to go back and find those. But so did going through something so heartbreaking and unimaginable, you know, you've explained how it kind of weighed on you. How did it weigh on your marriage?
Yeah. So this is a big one. Early on, I was given a book, lots of resources and things given to us. And I remember sitting in the nursery, this early days of grief, and opening it. And on the first page, it spoke of the staggering statistics of marriages after walking through something like child loss. And I remember reading that and I remember slamming the book shut. And I was angry. I was like, I'm not reading this. The book wasn't wrong. There is truth in the effects that child loss have on a marriage. Any strenuous or
anything
situation can have on marriage. And child loss is one of the biggest things, one of the biggest stressors.
Marriage is hard, period. Yes. So yes. To go through something like this, something is already difficult. It's just hard.
It is. And for us, when I slammed that book shut, I thought the enemy has already taken so much from us in the loss of our son that I can't fathom him taking another thing from me. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, through my husband's job, he works with youth who have been through a lot of trauma in their lives. And so he has had a lot of training in that. We had a lot of knowledge going into this. And one of the biggest things, and you can say this, but until you experience it, grief looks different for people. It does. And it can be really painful when it looks different for your spouse than it does for you. But we knew that. We knew going in, we're going to grieve differently. And we need to create space for ourselves to grieve differently. And we also need to come to the table together to grieve. And so we did that. And I'm thankful that I had that knowledge. And I'm thankful to be passing that on now, that you and your spouse are going to grieve different. It's not going to look the same. And it's not that he is not grieving your child or grieving your grandmother or grieving whoever's lost. But just like God created us differently with different strengths, our grief looks different too. And so for me, that was a lot of time in my bathtub and reading books and wanting to do things to honor Hudson's life. And for my husband, he stayed very busy, but he grieved in his busyness. He would want to go outside and work in the yard. I mean, the second day we came home, he was outside hanging a swing for my daughters. And I thought, why are you hanging a swing right now? Like there's much more important things, but that was something he could do. That's a way he could serve our family. And while he's out there, he has his worship music playing. He's going to the Lord. But for me, I just wanted to be still, you know, and he wanted to process. And so just having that knowledge that our grief is going to look different was really, really important. I also know that my experience in knowing Hudson, he was inside of my body physically, and I had known him for months, known his movements, known so much about him. And my body also was grieving physically because it was longing to be caring for a newborn. So our experiences in our loss were very different. Just like had Hudson been 12 years old, I would have had a different relationship with Hudson than Brad would have, or than my mom would have. And so grief looks different in that way. I will also say we did sit down with our pastors and good friends together just to kind of process and talk through things. And then a couple other things that we were really fortunate to be able to do. We were able to take a couple trips with just our family, just Brad, myself, and Rowan and Cora, and get away. We kind of hid away a little bit from the world as much as we could in those early days. So getting away as a family, but then also Brad and I were able to take a trip together a few months out, just the two of us, which was really good. We actually went up to the Hudson River Valley in New York, just the connection to his name and the meeting. And it was an incredibly healing trip for us. And then we also, again, in seeing how important it is that we don't grieve alone, Brad took a short weekend trip with some of his guy friends, trusted Christian friends that we knew were going to pour into him. And I was able to do the same with some of my friends, and kind of having space to grieve alone and together was really, really good for us. And I will say, it's not easy to walk through anything like this, but those couple of things really helped make a difference for us in just knowing this is going to look different for you. This is going to look different for me. We need to come together and grieve, but we also need our own space as well.
I think a lot of people think that grieving looks like one thing and there's not a right way or a wrong way to do it. And for you to be able to do all different kinds of grieving, grieving together, grieving alone, grieving with your children, going on trips. You know, you said you wanted to be still and Brad wanted to be moving. All those things just helped, I'm sure, heal you just a tiny, tiny, tiny bit. I'm sure it's never fully healed. Like you said, you're never fully not grieving, but for you to be able to support each other in that way. And I think it's important to know that, like, you know, the way we worship God and the way we meet with him also looks different. Yeah. And so for you, it sounded like you needed to be still in that time to meet with him. And Brad needed to be moving, listening to his music to be able to meet with him. So you've talked about your marriage. So how did you explain the loss of Hudson to his sisters, and how were you able to support them?
Yeah.
And how old were they? How old were they when they were walking through this?
I think they were 6 and 4. Sometimes I have to go back and do the math. But Rowan was 6 and Cora was 4. And I will tell you, as a mom, this is probably the hardest part for me. And as I share, like, you'll just see the way the Lord has been so faithful and really grown me in a lot of ways through this as well. We obviously found out at the doctor's office, and our girls were they were actually here at the camp where we live, but they were down having a meal, and we sent another friend to pick them up. So we weren't walking into a group setting where they were, and she brought them home. And I will never forget them coming into the room, eager to hear about their brother and us having to share that news with him. The looks on their faces are something that I will not forget, and that are some of the most painful parts of the story for me. And I remember from the moment I found out, a repetitive question of, what do I tell the girls? How do I tell the girls? It just kept coming up. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. And so in that, I was able to call a friend who had lost her son, and asked her, what did she do? And she gave me, you know, some different things, just be honest with them. And you know that they have a solid foundation in the Lord. And I cannot urge families enough to get that solid foundation for your children when they're young. Sometimes we think, okay, they're with us until they're 18. They're not going to face hard things until they're out from under my roof. And I am so thankful that in my time in being their mom and in children's ministry and our involvement in church, that they did have a solid foundation in the Lord. And so it wasn't out of left field that, you know, we were talking about death and dying and heaven and seeing him again. And we told them, and we wanted to be at home and put them to bed. We had asked that at the doctor's office, like, we don't want to go straight to the hospital. We need to go be with our girls. Mm-hmm. And one of the songs that we sing with our daughters before bed, it's trust in the Lord with all of your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. There's a whole song that goes along with it. Mm-hmm. But I remember when they picked that song that night as we were tucking them in bed and just choking those words out, but continuing to pray them and sing them over our family. And then heading into the hospital to deliver Hudson, my repetitive questioning again to the past when our pastor came to see us was, what do we tell the kids? How do we process this with them. Like it was eating me up inside. And he looked at me and he said, Alexa, you are trusting the Lord with your heart and you know that he's going to sustain you. You can trust him with theirs too. And those words just like fell over me like, oh, like you're right. I'm trying to be Mama Bear and I am trying to think that I have to do something to protect them, but it's not me, it's the Lord. And I thought that I had been trusting him all along with them and their lives. But until it was this situation where I was like, well, what do I do? I have to fix this. I can't fix this for them. And he just said, you're trusting him with your heart. I see you doing it. I see the things you're saying, the way you're walking, the way you're talking. You can trust him with theirs too. And so really, truly, the Lord has used this to help me realize like, yeah, I'm Mama Bear, but I'm not the one that solves the problems and fixes things mm-hmm. for them. And I never imagined that we would have to face that when they were six and when they were four. But I'm so thankful that we did. And I saw their faith deepen. Both of them became, got baptized. I think within the year after Hudson passed, one got baptized in the fall and one got baptized in the spring. And we didn't ever have the perfect words. There are no perfect words to say, but we didn't hide our grief from them. We grieved with them. We answered questions the best that we could. And when we couldn't, we said, you know, we don't have all the answers, and we pointed them to the Lord.
Are you looking for biblical resources to engage your kids in God's word? Look no further. Rooted Kids exists to equip parents to disciple their children in a way that is simple, adaptable, and fun. Rooted Kids Bible guides go hand in hand with our Bible reading plans for moms, providing an easy way to invite your child along on your journey through God's Word. Rooted Kids guides are not a rigid curriculum. Rather, they provide a carefully curated assortment of activity options for families to choose from. Guides are currently available for our 12-week gospel plan, 20-week Acts and Epistles, and now our Bible in a Year plan too. The best part? These guides are completely free when you subscribe. Visit www.rootedmoms.com/kids to learn more today.
And so that's the biggest thing that I can say for someone who's walking through grief with their children is to point them to the Lord in the same way that you're pointing yourself to the Lord, just like in raising them up. You want to do exactly what you're doing yourself. You want them spending time in the Word. You want them spending time in prayer. You just want them, you're bringing them along in what you're already doing. Is it still the hardest part of our story for me? Yes. Watching your children suffer is hard, and watching them process something and, is incredibly challenging, but I've seen the fruit of the Lord, in their hurt and their pain as well. And I'm so thankful that they got to see my husband and I running to the Lord in our deepest hurt and pain at the age that they did. Mm-hmm. Rather than the first time they experiencing something tragic is when they're 20 and they're, you know, out on their own and not sure where to turn. Just trusting the Lord to sustain their hearts in the way that he did ours, has been beautiful.
What an example that you set for them. I know that's not an example you're looking to show. You're not, you know, looking to show them how to grieve. That's not something you want to be going through, or that, you know, when your children get hurt, you always want to take away their pain. And this is not something that you can take away, but you can give it to God. And for you and Brad to openly be able to grieve with them, show your grief, answer their questions, point them to God when you couldn't.
Yeah.
It's just so amazing. And since that you have lost Hudson, you have had sweet Bryn.
Yes. So
how has she helped your family in any way? Like, in what way? I know babies are a blessing, period, but I'm sure she's just been such a wonderful blessing for you and your family.
She has. So we lost Hudson in October of 2021. And we knew for our family that we were going to try as soon as we could again. And again, that was probably driven by, as a mom, not being able to bring Hudson home and wanting to bring a child home to the two big sisters who had been waiting. And so we actually got pregnant, guess it would have been about 3 months later. And Hudson was due October 27th of 2021. And when we got pregnant with Bryn and we were told her due date, it was October 27th of 2022. And I remember in that moment, like, Lord, I don't know if I can handle this, but then also this sense of like what beauty and what redemption I was watching him lay out for us. And Bryn will never and does not replace Hudson. And I know that. And I also saw the Lord healing my heart in many ways as we got to welcome her. I will say for anyone who has experienced miscarriage or child loss, pregnancy after loss is not easy. And I knew that going into it. But again, once you experience it, it was a lot harder than I could have ever imagined. But I also, again, found strength in the Lord, and he sustained me day after day after day. He gave me glimpses of, you know, his provision and him lining things up in the way that only he can do. And when we brought her home, I still have the footage. My mom recorded it all for me. And the look on the girls' faces when they finally got to meet Bryn. Those are also looks that are burned into my mind that I will never forget. And she has been such a blessing and such a joy to our family. And I know that's not the story for everybody. After experiencing child loss, I know that for some people, it may be years of unexplained infertility after losing a child, or it may be that you aren't able to try again for medical reasons, or just a longer period of grief in between before you're ready to try again. And I know that we can see the Lord's faithfulness no matter what direction our family goes biologically from there. In kind of joining, I guess, the club you never want to be a part of, you will find other women who have walked a variety of different roads. And I've seen them speak of the Lord's faithfulness, you know, in what their family has looked like. And I know that he can and will be faithful no matter what those circumstances look like. And I am incredibly humbled and honored that we have Bryn in our family and the peace that she's brought to us and to our girls. And I also know that someday I get to introduce her to her brother who's in heaven. I mean, we talk about him all the time. She's still only not even 18 months old. So she's not understanding when we're like, Hudson in heaven, you know, your brother. But I'll get to share of his life and of the Lord's faithfulness with her. And that'll be a whole nother process of her experiencing grief for a brother she never knew and she never met, but getting to walk alongside her and just speak of God's faithfulness and goodness in our life and through her too.
Yeah. I feel like that is kind of preparing her as well. You know, she wasn't here when you were walking through that grief, but there will be a time someday when she may have to walk through some kind of grief. And knowing that, you know, you've done it and you've survived it and you have just let God pour into you during these times is just such an example to her. So before we kind of wrap up, can you give our listeners who might be walking through grief, just some last words of encouragement? I know that, you know, everybody's journey looks completely different. And as you mentioned, you had kind of a lot of people in your life who had just happened to walk through something similar. So are you a part of like any groups or anything? Or for people who may be walking through loss who don't have, you know, maybe like a firm foundation or a firm family around them, what can you encourage them with?
Yeah, well, I would say first and foremost, grief is going to look different for everybody, and how you process and your story is going to look different. I will say, as a believer, if you know the Lord, we do have a responsibility to position ourselves before him. And I know in having experienced grief before, I have wanted to run. I have wanted to distract. I have wanted to scroll on my phone. I have wanted to shop. I've wanted to do whatever, but position myself before the Lord in other seasons of grief. And I also know that when we look to the example of Christ, he goes before his Father. And so yes, while Brad was outside being busy and I was in the bathtub, I do want to encourage you in the Lord that if you know him, position yourself before him through prayer, through study, through fellowship with other believers, and he is the one that will do the healing. You can't read yourself into being healed. You can't pray. You can't attend so many worship services or put on your happy face so many times. Like, we just need to consistently and humbly and honestly, and that doesn't always mean the happy face, but honestly position yourself before the Lord in your grief, and he will meet you. That's probably the biggest thing that I took away from walking through Hudson was, you know, if you break your arm, you're not going to go to the mall. You're going to go to the doctor and you're going to let him heal your arm. If you break your arm and you choose to go home and not get it taken care of, that's going to continue to be there, that hurt and that pain. So just position yourself before the Father. I will say there are a lot of communities and resources out there on social media, probably at your local hospital. They probably have grief counseling. I do want to caution you, as if you are a believer, make sure that you are allowing people of faith to pour into you. I know that there's several accounts that I follow that aren't as fruitful in finding their own healing in the Lord. And so it's very easy for bitterness and pain and even a spirit of offense to creep in. Well, they shouldn't have said that to me because I lost a child, or I can't do X, Y, or Z anymore because I lost a child, or I can't have these friends. And while there are seasons and times that you need to protect yourself from, I just encourage you to find resources that are faith-based and that are people that have sought their own healing in the Lord and that can guide you through that, because there's a lot out there that haven't. And I just encourage you in that. So I can definitely give you some different accounts, Brittany, and different resources that we can maybe put in the notes.
We'll put in the notes for sure.
If you're looking for some faith-based encouragement through child loss, there is community out there, a community you never want to be a part of, but incredible to have someone who's walked through the fire first to come along and say, look, the Lord is good. He's going to meet you and he is faithful.
So speaking of community, you have created a community, a wonderful ministry called Even in the Valley. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So I guess sort of out of our loss, again, when you join that club, you never want to be a part of, when someone else loses a child, they call you up, or they may not call you up. It may be a friend or a relative or neighbor, like, hey, I don't know what to do. My friend just experienced what you did. Help. How can I help? And so in that, we sort of organically, I guess, begin sending resources, just like what I was talking about, to women who have experienced loss, faith-based resources, to women who have experienced loss and to encourage them in the Lord. And it just sort of happened. It wasn't like, I'm going to start this or I'm going to do this. And as it continued to happen and different things kind of transpired as we were walking through grief, I felt the Lord just tugging me to say, hey, this is a need. This is something that you can do. It's not something that I ever wanted to do. I always thought my platform for faith would be in children's ministry or in my husband's job, but he's given me an avenue into women's lives. And so that's what Even in the Valley is. We just want to provide faith-based resources to families experiencing loss. It is still very small and it is mostly by word of mouth. People reach out to me. I put together a small care package and we send that out to women. Sometimes that's all it is. And I don't hear, you know, from anyone. And I just pray that the Lord is using those resources to minister to their hearts. And then other times I may, you know, talk with women on the phone or meet up for coffee if they're local and really just try to encourage them in the Lord, because I know how painful this experience can be and how it could turn you away from your faith if you're not positioning yourself before him and seeking him. So that's Even in the Valley. I do want to take a quick moment and just thank the Rooted Moms community. I know you guys partnered with us back in January and donated and raised funds for Even in the Valley ministry. And that has been a huge blessing and also an encouragement to me as someone who's starting this, to see other women come alongside me and say, this is important and these resources are needed. And so I just want to say thank you. If you ever find yourself in a position of needing, additional support, you guys can get connected with me. The account is Even in the Valley on Instagram, and we are working on getting a website up and things like that. But I am happy to send care packages out to you or to, you know, friends or family who experience loss and just encourage them in the Lord.
Thank you so much, Alexa, for sharing your story. Everything that Alexa has spoken about today, all of the scripture, all of the resources, her ministry, Even in the Valley, it will all be tagged in our notes. I know that grief is such a heavy topic, and you know, you want to support your friends and you want to be there for them. And then as somebody walking through grief, you want to feel supported. So I'm just so thankful that you've come on and just showed your heart to us today. Before we wrap up, do you mind praying over us and over our community?
Sure, I would love to. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you for this time. God, I thank you for your faithfulness in all seasons of our lives, Lord. I thank you that you meet us no matter whether we're on the mountaintop, God, or we're in the valley. Lord, you are faithful. You are faithful to be present in our lives. And God, I just humbly ask that each woman or man, whoever's listening to this podcast, Lord, that they would be challenged and encouraged to just come before you and to position themselves before you in a way that would allow you and enable you to heal our hearts from hurt, whether it's child loss or grief of another family member or friend, God, or Lord, if it's a marriage that's grief from the loss of a marriage, any sort of grief or pain or suffering, Lord, you are the one who heals us. And so, God, I just thank you that we could talk today about this topic, Lord. And I just thank you for the healing that you're going to do through this podcast, through Rooted Moms, through Even in the Valley. God, we see your faithfulness and we just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you again, Alexa. We're just so grateful for you.
Well, thank you. I'm thankful for you guys and for this community. And I pray this is a blessing.
Thank you for being a part of the Rooted Moms podcast today. We would love to keep the conversation going over on Instagram. Find us there by searching Rooted Moms. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button below so you never miss an episode. Rooted Moms provides practical tools, community, and encouragement that equip moms to become rooted in Christ. Connect with us and learn more at www.rootedmoms.com. We'll see you next time.